a shot at millions of dollars, but more importantly, put in that code LaRose. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.
Now that Hurricane Ida is over, Lowe's is helping pros like you move our community forward. Our pro team is here for your pro team with necessities from generators to cleaning supplies. And our dedicated pro loaders will help get you on your way fast. Being here for our community when you need us most is who we've always been and who will always be. Go to your nearest Lowe's or get supplies 24/7 at Lowe's.com. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Since being the first to make wiper blades over a century ago, Trico has protected drivers in any weather. We're always looking ahead, studying your specific driving conditions so you'll be ready for anything. Like, if it actually rains cats and dogs, you can handle every soggy Siamese and drenched Doberman. Your Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility, whatever the weather. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Coming up this hour, Rafael Esparza, Señor Reyes. Look at some of the games in college foosball, games in the NFL, got some UFC going on there as well. We'll touch on that. Marlon Favreit, 130, Evan Lazar, Patriots beat writer, but first. Our question of the day, pretty simple. I need a key to the game. I need a score. I'm going 24-20 Saints. I know. I picked them to win eight games. I keep picking them. I honestly feel, for some reason, how about this? Just like the Pelicans, former ex-head coaches, huh? For whatever reason, I'm picking this. No, I'll tell you why. I legitimately think there might be a little something, too. We know we're coming home after the week. We got embarrassed, got shellacked. I think Dennis Allen fixed some things in the second half, which makes me feel good that we can do in-game adjustments, find out what the Patriots and Josh McDaniels are doing on offense. I think Mac Jones is going to dink and dunk you to death. So make your tackles, make some plays, get off the field on third down. You should be in the game and offensively. I'm going to go with the rule and the law of averages and percentages. It can't possibly be that poor again on the offensive line, can it? No way, and you know what. Can the Saints offensive line protect that poorly? No way. It can't happen again. I don't think it can. And at some point in time, Alvin Kamara is going to get into the end zone. I really believe that. I think you'll hit a big play or so. I do think it'll be a close game. It may not be exciting at times. I think both teams will have some interesting game plans that they'll adjust to. I'm going 24-20. Jordan, the intern, a little closer game, 30-27, but he stayed with the Saints. Now, again, you take a look at the very latest, and Saints and Patriots, that game right now, a 3-point favorite for New England. So the Saints are getting 3. We'll ask Raphael a little bit about that here as well. Panthers, 24-9. They win yesterday to kick off the third week of the NFL. They improved to 3-0, first time since 2015 for that to happen. But I'll tell you this, it was a costly victory for them as they lost running back Christian McCaffrey. He has a hamstring injury. You could see how that offense struggled after that. And more importantly, perhaps, or just as important, J.C. Horn, Matt Rhule, today confirming it was a pretty severe injury. You saw him backpedaling. The broadcast showed it was non-contact. He immediately went for his foot. Broken bones in his foot. So he's going to miss several weeks. Going to be out for a while. Two big-time players for that team, but they, again, are 3-0. So if you want to touch on that, feel free. 800-998-1003, though, is the way to chime into the conversation. Kenny Kleber. Any relations? I don't know. 17-14 Saints. That's a real low-scoring game. 17-14 Saints. Also, Jay Fowl. Jameis turns it over twice. He gets benched. Patriots 27, New Orleans 9. Wait a minute. What? Jay Fowl. He gets benched? You're calling for a benching? All right, fine. I think for that, then, I need this appropriate music. The doom music. I said this during training camp, in the summer, in the offseason, all that. I did say no matter who I think Sean Payton goes with or stays with, I do think patience needs to be shown. If it was going to be Taysom Hill, I thought 6 games. You got to go at least into the bye, right? I think the same thing with Jameis Winston. I don't know if you're benching. I don't know if you're benching. Now, I'll say this. Benching a player or benching Jameis, if he's getting protection, missing throws, making misreads, or, you know, literally doing the old spin and chunk. And again, when you look at some of those plays, he was under the rest. He's trying to make a play. You've had nothing going on offense. It was sort of a wind in the prayer that you sort of saw. So that's why I said earlier in the week, I hear you, J-Fal, but I'm not me personally. I'm not ready to go, there he is, Tampa Jameis. I'm not. If you watch that game, you got that same sense and feeling. I mean, it was an absolute disaster. It just was. So I'm not feeling that just yet, but hey. J-Fal says, I asked him a key and I asked him a score. He gave it to me. Jameis turns it over twice. He's benched. Pats 27, Saints 9. Rusty, have an offensive line in front of the quarterback instead of a swinging. That would help as well. At ESPN Radio Nola or at GCAT_17, Nola Flint, get the ball to Alvin in space. He's not the check down guy. He's the best athlete on the team. I think they're trying to do that. I also think, though, until Marquez Callaway, until Deontay Harris, until little Jordan Humphrey, until Adam Trautman, Juwan Johnson become legit, hey, I can go to you type receivers. I said it going into week one. I'm firing my defensive coordinator if the game plan doesn't start on page one when I get it from him. Alvin Kamara will not beat us. I'm telling you, there is heavy attention on 41 when he's in the game. Somebody's spying, somebody's locked in on him, somebody's assigned to him. I would, wouldn't you? Especially after coming of a game out of, you know, where you didn't see protection and all of that issues. So that's why you see him. You know, he gets hit frequently when they're tossing it to him in the background. And quite honestly, here's the thing. Sometimes the check down ain't a bad thing. And if he is your check down guy, I'm still getting him the football, and he is my best athlete on the team. and he can score on it. So however I got to get it to him, that's fine with me. It doesn't matter. But again, it all starts up front. That's my key to the game. It's real simple. Key to the game, block someone, please. Then we can move on. Alvin Kamara, going to have his position coach back. How nice is that?
It was good. You know, he was excited to be back. I mean, everybody was excited to have him back. So just we got to keep working, you know, and it's good to have him back.
Indeed, Joel Thomas, the running backs coach for the New Orleans Saints, finally back and being able to work with him as well. Kamara, on any practice changes after a loss like that?
I think we're the same. I don't think we go and start trying to change everything and figure out a way to, you know, switch up our process. Our process is always the same, but I know Sean takes it personal. For sure. I know he takes it personal when we lose, just like I take it personal, just like DeMario takes it personal, Cam, you know, all the leaders on this team. And, you know, I feel like when we lose, we want to, whatever that next game is, the next 10 games, we want to let people know, like, we're not losers. At least that's how I feel.
Again, to his point, I've never seen anything like that. It's just rare that you see that, and maybe there's something to, again, that Cesar Ruiz is center for the first full game. But what's nuts is the guy came in 5 snaps against Green Bay. That's the baffling aspect of this. It's not like Cesar Ruiz came in 4 minutes to play fourth quarter in that game against Green Bay. He came in 5 snaps, scooched over from right guard to center, 5 snaps in. So basically, the entire game against the Packers, that same guy was doing the communication stuff for Jay. So I can't explain it. It makes no sense. Because it wasn't just, hey, we went on the same page a couple of times. It was a disaster. I've never seen anything like it. Sean, looking at video. Deuce Windham, looking at video. Brian Baldwinger, looking at video. It's unexplainable. Which is why, though, I think that I can't expect that to happen again. The law of averages. I promise you, Sean Payton addressed it. That guy didn't sleep. He shouldn't have. It was terrible. So I do think they fixed that from that aspect. Now, one thing that they can do moving forward, perhaps a little bit better, Alvin?
I think just communicate and know, limit the self-inflicted wounds. I think we had a lot of penalties and you know, early in drives that kind of killed us. Communicating and you know, just from the start of the play, you know, and that attributes to the penalties. That contributes to the penalties. We had false starts and just trouble getting lined up, things like that. So we gotta do us clean up the self-inflicted things.
Yeah, indeed. That's something that, you know, again, you just watch the game as false start. Tyron Armstead had 2 of those. Again, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if Jameis had laryngitis. They couldn't hear him. He said after the game he needs to be louder. It was a disaster. I mean, nothing worked, from the inception of a play. That's the thing that's crazy. This wasn't an issue or an instance where we're looking at it. They go, man, they can't get open. This isn't, it's just no room at the line because the D-line just, you know, overpowering the offensive line. They couldn't get the play started. Like, that was the frustrating aspect of it. Either it was a pre-snap penalty, or once the ball was snapped, that play had no chance of working. Like, that was the frustrating aspect of watching that game.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Rouse's Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets feels like home.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary, beginning at 5 p.m. and any time on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career, working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
At VSI Doc Sports, the way to bring in Rafael Esparza coming up. This is Rafael, 2 o'clock, you're doing your YouTube live show. That's a really nice photo you tweeted today yourself. Really nice. Look at you, shirt and tie.
Yeah. Those are the old days when I used to have to wear my Justin Timberlake shirt and tie look every 7 days a week when I was working behind the counter. So I don't think I've worn that suit since my last day at for MGM Corporation.
Okay. Let's do some of the games over the weekend in college. I guess we start with the big one, A&M in Arkansas. Texas A&M, 5.5-point favorite right now. In Jerry World, how do you see this one?
You know me. I've been eating some crow because I didn't think this Arkansas team was going to be this competitive. I thought they would be much better than last year, and boy, they are much better than last year. I like the plus points in this one. I think this game is going to be very entertaining, and would not shock me if I'm eating some swine as Arkansas wins this game. This game is going to be one of the best games on Saturday.
This is brutal for me. Southern Miss at number one, Alabama. The Tide, 45 points. Southern Miss is not scoring. Like, I've seen those two games, three games. They're not good on offense. They lost the quarterback last week. I don't think they score unless Bama, like, turns it over at the five and they can kick a field goal. So, can Alabama score 45 points to Southern Miss's none in order to cover this?
I think they do, unless I'm going to take Southern Miss money line and they're going to win straight up and beat the number one team in the land. But no, I agree with you. Would not be shocked if we see like a 52-3 type of game. This one's going to be ugly.
Along the same lines, number two, Georgia at Vandy. The Bulldogs are getting 35 here. Is Vandy capable of, again, I'm looking at the line. I'm not looking at a win, but can they cover? I think maybe they can.
I think they can. They're at home. I mean, I don't think Georgia's going to put up a big number in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to probably run the ball. I think I could see Vandy putting up 10 points around there. So, yeah, I think this one covers. I have Vandy only winning by, probably by 30.
This is an interesting one at Soldier Field. Number 12, Notre Dame. Number 18, Wisconsin. Wisconsin now 6.5-point favorites.
I know Notre Dame has not looked like they've done before, especially on defense. This is a big number. I think the dog covers this one. I'll take the plus 6.5, even though I'm not 100% sold on Notre Dame.
Okay, I feel, you talk about not being sold, I feel like previous years, especially with Jim Harbaugh showing up at Michigan, they were always ranked high. They're only 19th. They're 3-0. They're a 20.5-point favorite hosting Rutgers. 3-0 as well.
But this is a totally different team. I think Rutgers could be in for a very, very, very long evening.
Really?
I think, I like this team right here. I think Rutgers I could say here's another one that could be a very, very lopsided game. Rutgers, and it could be in a world of hurt.
Can Florida bounce back from almost getting Nick Saban in the Crimson Tide? They're ranked 11th. They're 2-1 now. 19-point favorite against visiting Tennessee.
I think they. I mean, they're going to have no problem winning this game. I like Tennessee plus the points in this one. I think Tennessee puts a junky touchdown in the fourth quarter and gets that backdoor cover. Florida bounces back, gets the W, but give me Tennessee plus the points.
Okay, looking at points as well. Ohio State giving 48.5. The weather in Columbus tomorrow, 69 degrees, chance of showers, hosting Akron. So, again, this is another one. Can it be 50-3 in order to cover here? And remember, they don't have their starting quarterback tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what the big difference here. I think they're just going to run the ball. So putting up that many points,
right,
if for some reason, if Akron makes some kind of stops, I'll take the Zips plus the points in this one. You just said it. No Ohio State starting QB. I mean, they win this game, but that's a big number. They don't win. They don't come close to 40. I see them winning like maybe by like 28.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying it's a lot of points there. Speaking around a lot of points there as well. You got Oregon hosting Arizona. The Ducks, 28.5 points. Their head coach being mentioned over there in Miami. Could it be a distraction?
I don't think so. I just think Oregon, they know they got that big W already at the shoe. Now they just need more style points because they need to be invited to the Final Four in college football. I think they roll at home in Eugene against Arizona.
All right. A buddy, Pedro, wants to know, what do you think of this game? And it is Louisville at Florida State. The Noles, 0-3. The Birds are getting... Or they're 1.5-point favorites, so they're giving 1.5. What do you like?
I'm actually shocked that some wise guy money came in on Florida State, because this one opened up at 2.5, and it got bet down all the way to 1.5. I can't put my hard-earned money on Florida State. I wouldn't even put Carver's college money on Florida State. I think Louisville wins this one, but I would not be shocked if Florida State gets that big home win against a conference opponent.
Along those lines,
I would stay away from this game.
Well, it's funny because, again, another game that, again, you would think, here's number 9, Clemson at unranked NC State, but the Tigers are only getting 10 because they can't score. But do you think they cover that? I mean, they should, right? Like, that's a game that I'm like, okay, I'm taking Clemson for the win and the points.
Give me Kevin Nash in that red and black NWO t-shirt because the Wolfpack cover this one.
No way.
I'm not sold on Clemson's offense at all. Clemson wins probably by a touchdown, but the Wolfpack cover this game.
All right. LSU, Mississippi State, Tigers, 2.5-point favorite in Stark, Vegas.
Here's another one. Just stay away. If you're an LSU fan, just hopefully you get a road victory. If you're a Mississippi State fan, maybe see if this one goes up to a +3 and you can grab this one. This one will be a close game. I think whoever wins is 4 points or less. I'm leaning towards Cowbells, but I would not be shocked if LSU's offense finally wakes up against the conference opponent and wins.
One final college football note. Paul Feinbaum said this, and I want to get your take on it. Deion Sanders, he says, would be unbelievable at USC as their head football coach. Have you heard anything like that? Like, why would Feinbaum say that?
I have heard that a little grumbling. Boy, would he recruit out of the West Coast? It'd be scary what kind of athletes that would normally go to an SEC or Big Ten and stuff like that. They would stay in the West Coast. I can guarantee you that. But I have heard some grumblings last week about that. Deion Sanders.
Okay.
If that head coaching job's open.
That's why I was bringing it up there. All right, let's get to the NFL, sir. We saw the Panthers and Texans yesterday. Man, McCaffrey out for a little bit with the hammy. And also, J.C. Horn out a couple of weeks with broken bones in his foot. That's per head coach Matt Rhule. Washington at the Bills tomorrow, noon, Fox. Buffalo, 7.5-point favorites. It's a lot of points, huh?
It is, but I think the Mafia is back. They got that quick L out of the way, and I think Bills Mafia wins. I'm not sold on Washington's offense. What happened to that monster defense that Washington's supposed to have? That's really questionable. I like Buffalo.
Well, you know, you Chicagoans wanted it. You got it. Justin Fields is starting at Cleveland. Cleveland, 7-point favorites. Is that too much?
No, because I don't care if Jim McMahon was behind center. Cleveland wins.
By more than 7, then?
Oh, yeah, I think Cleveland, right. The Cleveland defense is going to give the rookie quarterback a lot of different looks. Going to confuse him.
I made fun of the primetime game of the Lions and Packers before it was played. And you know what, though? They battled. They made some plays. And look, again, I don't know why everyone was off the Jared Goff thing. I mean, he's not a terrible quarterback. Ravens, though, at Detroit, and an 8-point favorite. Lamar Jackson didn't practice, sir. So I'm kind of leaning at least give me the points with Detroit here.
Yeah, this one will maybe see a 9 before kickoff. If it was a later afternoon, I would probably say definitely get the best number. I like Detroit to cover on here. I'm just mad at Detroit. I had team total over 17.5 points for Monday night. Really? You scored 0 points in the second half? Yeah. You couldn't get a half a point, maybe fall down, get a safety or something? Ugh, brutal.
I hear you, sir. I hear you. Colts and Titans, you did see Carson Wentz practice this week, so he's back. 5.5 point, which is crazy, because didn't he, like, sprain both of his ankles?
Yeah, I didn't know you could sprain both your ankles. But I've been riding high on HBO's Titans TV show, and I just finished close to season 3, and I'm still mad that they killed off a character. So give me the Titans -5.5. He's like that handicapping field right there.
I like that. It's really good. This is something that the intern and I will have a on-the-air bet, perhaps, in the final hour. His Justin Herbert Chargers at my Pat Mahomes Chiefs. KC getting 7 on this. I think KC wins. I do not think they cover. That defense is terrible. That's a lot of points in this game.
I agree with you. That defense is horrendously bad. How come no one talks about that? No one wants to talk about Pat Mahomes and what he does is magic. MVPs and Super Bowl trophies.
Stop
that
it.
Defense stinks. Give me the Chargers. Look up to me.
In this week's Toilet Bowl, the Falcons are at the Giants. Both teams 0-2. Giants are a 3-point favorite. Oh, my. I know you're not going to watch this game, but who do you think wins, and am I getting the points here?
Thank God the WNBA playoffs are on Sunday at the same time. But it's the New York Giants. I've been telling you guys that the Falcons could be one of the worst teams in the league. And it's been showing, besides maybe Jacksonville. The Giants win big. I like New York this week.
Ooh, Giants win big. Wow. Bengals at the Steelers. Pittsburgh a 3-point favorite. Joe Burrow probably didn't sleep all week, throwing that pick six and throwing that interception and doing those things. But you saw, you know, he was still capable of scoring. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm feeling Pittsburgh, but, man, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't looked good this year.
Yeah, this one's hard. This one I might just put a big X and just watch it. The total's 43. It's the one opened up at 47. It's been dropping like flies. I still think it's the total's too high. I won't see none of these two teams hitting the 20 mark. Take the under.
Cardinals 2-0. Jags 0-2. Arizona giving 7.5 here. So I don't know why when I saw this, I'm not. I want to say upset alert. But one thing that we saw with the Cardinals last year is they would play some good games and they would play some stinker of games. And this week, Urban Meyer was asked if he's getting out coached. I think he's ticked off. I think they cover the Jags. I think they cover.
I think you're right on this one. It looks too easy the way Jacksonville has played, but you can get a better number if you wait. Every parlay, teaser, Saturday parlay with NFL is going to have Arizona mm-hmm. on their tickets. You could mm-hmm. probably get 8.5, maybe even 9 on Jacksonville. Wait, because you'll get a better number in the Jags. Everyone's going to be fading them.
Okay, I got you. Jets and Broncos, Teddy Two Gloves looking to go 3-0. They should. The thing, though, is Denver's getting 10.5 points. 10.5.
Yeah, that's a big, big number. The total's 41.5. Here's another one. Not that much scoring in this one. Take the under. But I think Denver covers. Jets are just bad.
G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Are you struggling to pay rent and utilities due to financial impacts of COVID-19? The federal hold on evictions ends July 31st, but help is still available for both renters and landlords. Apply now at lastaterent.com or call 877-459-6555. That's lastaterent.com or call 877-459-6555. Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
All right. Again, fixing things around places, it keeps knocking us off the air. But let's continue. Let's do this quickly here. Bucks and Rams, Tampa Bay, a one-point favorite. Who you like?
I always say don't bet against Tampa, Tom, but that defense does not look good. And I like the Rams getting some revenge on this one. I like the Rams plus the point at home. I'll take the Rams defense over the Bucks defense.
Dolphins, Raiders, Vegas, 3.5-point favorite.
No Tua, Raiders.
Seahawks, Vikings, Seattle, 2-point favorite.
I like Minnesota in this one. I think they sleep. I think Seattle takes a bomb here.
In the Sunday night game, Packers, 49ers. It's in San Francisco. San Francisco, a 3-point favorite. No respect for Aaron.
Green Bay went to Levi's Stadium last year and beat the 49ers when there were injuries everywhere for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Redemption. 49ers win big.
All right. And Saints and Patriots. New England, a 3-point favorite. Sir, who do you like?
I have to go with mac and cheese. They're my Super Bowl pick. I have to stick with my Super Bowl pick. It's going to be a much closer game. I think New England pulls over. I'm going to say a push. New England wins by a field goal.
Okay, by a field goal. Jordan has 30-27 Saints. I got a 24-20 Saints. You're going to push. They win by a field goal. UFC, I know we got some fisticuffs this weekend. What do you like?
Yeah, UFC, I think that we see one belt being exchanged. I think Brian Ortega might surprise a lot of people on this fight, but female fights, no one's going to beat the champ. It's going to be very, very ugly. That fight will go really quick. No one beats Valentina. She wins easily, but take a look at Brian Ortega. If his number keeps on going high, I might have to take a stab. I can get plus 160 or higher.
Sunday, when it all comes to an end, who wins the Ryder Cup? The U.S. currently leading 3-1 right now, and this afternoon going into the second matches. Who do you like?
If it all depends. If USA can keep up this 3-1 attitude and wins Sunday single matches, I just don't think Europe will be able to come back. I like USA. Even though I liked Europe at plus 180, it was really good before the Ryder Cup started.
Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. In a matter of minutes, he'll be going live on YouTube. It's called Ask a Bookie. Well, I just want to know if you're going to be wearing like a suit, shirt and tie.
Nope, I got a gray polo on right now.
Okay.
I don't even know where my suit is at, so I'll tell you that right now.
When are you bringing sushi over to the house?
Is the dog have no teeth yet?
No. Teeth? They're actually sharper. Grown in. Adult canines. Yes.
Oh, I'm still on blood thinners. I don't want to bleed all over the place.
Thank you, bud. We'll talk again soon.
Take it easy, guys.
There he goes. Go straight down to Marlon Fave, right at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow on Twitter, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. You can also check out the podcast, Inside the Trenches. On the road, Big Fave, where are you heading, sir?
I'm headed to Lake Charles, Louisiana, baby, to watch the De La Salle Cavaliers take on Lake Charles Prep. Hello, somebody.
There it is. How's Cantrell doing this season, man?
He's doing pretty good. I'm super proud of him, Gus. He's definitely improved from last season. He's featured a lot more on the offense this year as a senior, and he's done exceptionally well. And by the way, I had to drop off my little nephew early. Don Eric takes on West Jeff tonight. Khalil Coleman. So check him out, big number 67 for the John Eric Patriots. So it's high school football galore, man.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Wait. Well. Wait, you went to West Jeff, right?
Yeah, man. He's taking on my old squad.
Oh, so where's the loyalty? Where's the allegiance line? No, it's family first, right? It's family first.
It's family first, but check this out. Last week, my old school Shaw, because Shaw is a freshman and sophomore, they beat the Patriots, man, 7-0. But, you know, we ain't going to get it.
I hear you, sir. I want to talk quickly about the Saints and Patriots, and then we'll get into LSU, the Cowbells, and Mississippi State. Marlon, look, the line, I keep saying I got the Saints winning 24-20. I'm going to go with, I think we're never going to see that again, and we can't see that again. It can happen. How do you fix communications issues like that? Is it hand gestures? Is it verbalizing? Is it going over those plans? And if you saw that the week before, as a defensive lineman, you're going to try it this week, right, with your team, aren't you?
Yeah. So to kind of elaborate on that piece, when, especially when you're in a hostile environment, the hand gestures are a major role just because for the simple fact that you can't hear. So throughout the week, Coach Payton, I'm pretty sure, put them in a position to where they're going over different hand gestures and stuff to work because of the miscommunication. And another thing to keep in mind along those lines, Gus, Eric McCoy. Sometimes I remember Teron Armstead had mentioned in one of his interviews, he was like, sometimes I forget he's not Drew Brees because he sounds too much alike. That happens. You don't have him. You have Cesar Ruiz. Not to mention all the coaches and stuff that they didn't have and players due to injury that they didn't have that we mentioned early in the week. So I'm pretty sure that was an area that Coach Sean Payton overemphasized with to make sure that they focus on the communication piece.
When you look at what Bill Belichick and the Patriots do, you were there for a brief time. Obviously, the story of stories is Tom Brady hooked you up, gave you a ride from practice. But when you look at what they do there, are you surprised that, you know, once again, it's a tough team to beat in? And what makes them so tough to, I guess, on the defensive end especially, their defenses look pretty good in 2 weeks?
Well, Gus, the time I spent in New England, the way Coach Bill Belichick approached the game, everything is very calculated. Not every coach has their calculated moves, but Bill's is piece by piece. So I can remember a while back when he put Tlaib on Jimmy Graham one-on-one just to kind of eliminate Jimmy Graham, and that affected us. So I can imagine, you know, the plan that he's going to drum up. He knows that right now Jameis Winston is one-for-one. He knows that this Saints team is bouncing back this place. So he's going to try his hardest to exploit some of our weaknesses. So do expect to see a lot of that defensively, different, you know, maybe playing man to one side and zone to the other, or showing blitz and then dropping everyone in the coverage. Just try their hardest to try to throw off, not only identifying the mic from the center's perspective, but also once Jameis goes through his reads, you want to try to throw them off.
Marley, one final thing on the NFL here, and I'll ask your thoughts first, though. Saints and Patriots on Sunday. Give me a key to the game and a score.
I think the key to the game for the Saints is just to really play fast-paced offense and try to run up the score to keep the defense off balance. Mm-hmm. I think the score, we're looking at about a 27-20 Saints. I think we're hungry for a win. We could go out there and make it happen.
All right, I'm putting you down. 27-20 Saints. What did you think of the news this morning that the league is going to move one of the six wild card games this weekend, or wild card weekend this postseason, to Monday night? So you're going to have a team play in the divisional round on a short week. I know it's by a day or two, but it's a short week. They had three on Saturday last year, three on Sunday last year. They're moving one to Monday night. It's not being received very favorably by a lot of people.
Yeah, because that date does matter. And then keep in mind, too, Gus, we added another game to the football season.
Right.
So if you look at it from a body perspective and that late, that Monday game can be challenging on that short week. So I do know that, especially the older players, they're complaining about that because you became so used to – having the, you know, the calculated amount of days to get your rest, get your body back, reacclimated. And I can tell you right now, Gus, let's take a team like Carolina. They played us on Sunday and had to turn right back around and play on a Thursday. So from a that's okay at the beginning of the season, but towards the end of the season, you want to think about durability, especially for your older players.
All right, let's get on over to LSU taking on Mississippi State, the Cowbells, Starkville, Mike Leach. Let's start with the noise and the fans, though, man. At the stadium's gone from quite the renovations from when you played to now, sir, and it is an environment, no doubt. But can you really tell the Cowbells? Obviously, you're on the defensive side, so you would hear when the Tiger offense was on the field. Is it as intimidating as people make it out to be?
It's really not, Gus. And to be honest with you, it became a storyline the second time I went to Mississippi State. And I didn't even really notice it. So it really brought it to me. You know, sometimes, Gus, I can find myself so locked in. And it's a thing, but it doesn't have to be that much of a thing.
All right, let's take a look at the other thing that I was talking about in terms of Mike Leach. He's a guy that offensively you saw last year. Can show what they can do at times. They have struggled a little bit this year and they're trying to find a rhythm. What do you see when you take a look at Mississippi State's offense?
When I look at Mississippi State offense, the first thing I think is the air raid thing, right? And I just have glimpses of last year and how they were able to get us off balance. So I do think with the amount of film that we put out there here in these first two games, they're going to try to exploit that. So usually, Gus, you know, I'm typically saying, Hey, man, let's get the defensive line after the key to victory is the defensive line. DBU's going to have to show up because a coach like Matt Mike, he's going to do that. He's going to try to pick a team that's trying to, you know, get back into the groove of things in the first time SEC plays. But for the Tigers, I know that they're ready to make it happen just for the simple fact. Hey, man, this team embarrassed us last year. We're fresh off a national championship, and they came into our home and they kicked our butt. So this is a golden opportunity right now for LSU to go out there and you know, show why we're one of the better defenses in college football and really exploit that on Mississippi State's air raid and get to create some turnover, you know, get some interceptions.
How big a loss is Andre Anthony?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
How big a loss is Anthony?
That's a huge loss, Gus. That hurt my heart, especially last week he had that big play where he had to scoop and score. And what a way to go out, man. If you're going to get injured in a few plays before that, that's it. But I talked to him earlier this week. He's in good spirits. Great, great kid. I can remember he was at Miller McCoy with Coach Nick Foster and then, of course, came over to at Nicar with Coach Nick and finished up his career there. Just a good kid. But to your question, a huge loss. He's someone that led that team not only this year and last year, but last year as well. In fact, the experience, you know, him and Neil Farrell and Jaquelin worked with me this offseason, and him and Neil are the two guys that are mature. They've graduated, and this was really a stock year. So for him to go through an injury early on in the season, it's going to be he's a huge puzzle missing out of that defense for the Tigers. But just having him on the sideline and his presence there, I know he's going to help out Ali Gay and, you know, the rest of the guys as they go into rotation.
When you look at LSU's offense, man, look, I think we saw what Max Johnson is capable of doing. And again, I believe in the guy. You got to give him time. You got to give him a run game. You got to give him some help. I think the guy is really good. How important is it, though, to maybe call some plays and get him going in a confidence thing there at 11 a.m. tomorrow? Just to some plays to kind of get some completions. And like last week where you saw the quick score and all of a sudden they were off and running.
I think rhythm is going to be important, Gus. I think it's going to be super important for them to kind of create what we saw in a Carolina game, unfortunately, last week against the Saints, but also in that 2019 offense, and that's the short passing game. Let's build some confidence. Let's match what Mississippi State is going to try to come out there and do. You know, we're struggling a little bit in the run game, so this will be a perfect opportunity to get – you know, those 7-yard passes, you know, that caught 3 yards away and an extra 2 to 3 yards, that stuff counts. It manipulates the clock, and it also gives the team an opportunity to run up the score and develop some rhythm. So I think for Max Johnson, I know we've been trying a lot of the deep balls, and we've been getting a lot of crossing, deep crossing routes. I think this will be a golden opportunity to run those similar routes Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase ran that 2019 season to get the short pass game going to build the confidence.
You know what I want to see tomorrow? I want to see Corey Kinner kind of build on last week's game. I mean, when Coach O after last week says, kind of reminds him of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, look, you see the stature, 5'10", 215, 220, but the importance of being able to get that backfield to where it's dependable and can really help the game plan, I think that would be huge tomorrow.
That'll be huge, and he did a great job. Hunt was on air with us after he kept on saying, started singing, Randy Watson, the children are our future. He likes the young bucks getting in there, and I do too. And Corey Kiner is someone who's shown that he's a young guy that can come out and contribute. And, you know, we're running back by committee. So, yeah, I want to see him too. I think he can very well go out there and put up 100-plus yards on the ground.
Wow, easy enough. All right, give me a score and a prediction, sir, tomorrow in Starkville.
Ooh, that's tough, Gus. I'm going to say that LSU is going to score, let's say, 35 points, Mississippi State 24. 35-24 LSU, go back.
All right, man. Safe drive. Good luck to the De La Salle football team, sir.
We're going to see what young Kentrell Millett's going to do out there, baby. Go Tigers. Let's make it happen. We didn't
matter. I know about it. Sounds good, Marlon. Appreciate it as always, man. A big Fave 504 is where to follow you over on Twitter and, of course, the podcast, Inside the Trenches, Monday and Fridays. Mr. Marlon Fave right on the Hangover. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
As always, Gus, thanks for having me on, brother. Y'all have a good weekend, brother, on this beautiful 70-degree weather.
Oh, I know. The weather is awesome. I woke up this morning, it was 65. I had the windows open. It was awesome. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
No problem, brother. Peace.
Evan Lazar is up next. He's the Patriots beat writer for CLNS Media. I'll ask him his thoughts on Mac Jones, the Patriots. How surprised was he when they parted ways from Cam Newton? That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Thibodeau Regional Health System was recently named one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals by IBM Watson Health. This award for delivering the best quality and most cost-effective heart and vascular care is important. Why? Because high-quality heart care close to home is not only convenient, it's life-saving. When it comes to matters of the heart, choose the experts at Thibodeau Regional.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Mr. Evan Lazar joins us to talk about the New England Patriots at EZ Lazar's way to give him a follow over on social media on Twitter. Patriots beat reporter for CLNS Media. Evan, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Patriots, man, 1-1 on the season. I guess even before the season kicked off and started. How surprising was, I guess, the quarterback battle, the competition, and then eventually the parting of ways with quarterback Cam Newton?
It was definitely surprising to see the Patriots go with Mac Jones so early on in the process. I think everybody that was out there, myself included, in training camp, could see all of the breadcrumbs leading us down this trail, right? In terms mm-hmm. of way back in April, when you draft a guy in the first round, you're obviously going to turn it over to him eventually. But also once we get into training camp, the stylistic fit in the offense that Josh McDaniels runs, his accuracy, Mac's ability to absorb the playbook and understand things that he's looking at in the defense pre-snap, and just a good mental mind of things, I would say, from the quarterback position, kind of married with what the Patriots are all about. So we knew this was coming. Maybe I would have predicted that it happened week 6 or week 7 of the season.
Right.
But I think ultimately the Patriots just decided that it was the best thing to do to just not delay the inevitable and rip the Band-Aid off.
Was the practice against the Giants really that eye-opening? I mean, I remember reading on social media and on Twitter that it was the greatest practice against another team you'd ever seen, though, right? But, I guess it must have, to your point, given the coach's confidence to say, let's just do it.
Well, I definitely think what we saw from Mac that day, it was really the first. There was 2 days of joint practices with the Giants.
Yep.
The first day of joint practices with New York, Mac lit the world on fire. And I think what you saw out of it was a command of the offense that was beyond his years, right? I mean, this was not a player that looked like a rookie in that practice. He looked like somebody that had been in the NFL for a while, and he had Daniel Jones on the other side of things for the Giants, who looked like the more inexperienced quarterback that day, even though he's been in the league longer than Mac. So just the command, the cadence, the ability to run things at the line of scrimmage really took you away in that practice, mm-hmm. and you definitely felt like that was the turning point.
Did Mac Jones really help Cam Newton out in the playbook? Did you ever get to confirm that or not? It was funny.
No, that I can say was taking it a step too far. But the one thing that I had heard, especially after speaking to some of the players in the locker room after the decision to go with Mac, was pre-snap, setting up the line of scrimmage, right? You know, mm-hmm. setting the protection, getting the offense into the right plays, moving guys around to make sure that all your P's and Q's are set and are in order. All of the setting of the table is what Josh McDaniels refers to it as. Mac Jones was already excelling in that area. And Cam, as he talked about in his special after getting released by the Patriots with his father, he spoke about struggling with learning that side of things, with setting mic points, with learning defensive fronts, with learning protections. And it seems like Mac Jones had already surpassed him in a lot of ways in that phase of the game.
Interesting, because that's going to be a key here. Evan Lazar covers the Patriots for CLNS Media, in that was the issue last week with Jamison, new center. Well, I say new center. I mean, he was the right guard now moving over to center, and Cesar Ruiz. And so they now face a Patriots defensive front and a Patriots defense that, Evan, as you know, got back a lot of players last year that either opted out due to COVID or were injured. How big an impact has that been to basically, you almost get I wouldn't say a new defense, but I mean, it was a massive, massive loss with all the losses you had last year.
Yeah, not only do they get Dante Hightower back, which is big, but a lot of the free agent additions that they've signed, Matt Judon probably being the biggest one. Judon has been, other than maybe J.C. Jackson in the secondary, arguably their best defensive player since the start of training camp. So he's fit right into it. I would also say that getting Kyle Van Noy back, even though he didn't play in week 2, against the Jets, he should play in this game on Sunday. Just having another veteran outside linebacker in the system has been really big for the Patriots. And even a guy like Jalen Mills at cornerback has fit in pretty well and picked things up pretty quickly and looks the part at outside or slot corner for the Pats. So a lot of those new faces, a lot of the guys that are coming back from the opt-outs all of them have played extremely well for New England. And for Jameis in the Saints offense, you have to be able to establish the run against this Patriots defense. You have to be able to run the football. The Jets were able to run for 152 yards last week, even though that game got out of hand because of Zach Wilson turning the football over. Mm-hmm. If you can almost take the game out of Jameis's hands as much as possible and get Alvin Kamara going in the running game, that's where the Patriots defense is still working things out and still a little bit vulnerable is against the run. But if they get into a traditional drop-back passing game with Jameis and try to beat a Belichick defense through the air that is really good at pressuring the quarterback now, really good at disguising it on the back end, that's going to be a long day.
I think what's interesting, Evans, we saw the Patriots with Tom Brady win a Super Bowl that they didn't score very many points a couple of times. This sort of motto, this organization is very comfortable with doing what you need to do on offense and don't beat yourself. And that's kind of what I see when I look at Mac Jones and his offense so far with McDaniels. Just smart play calling. The ball's out of his hands quickly. It's quick outs. It's crossing routes. It's wheel routes. It's flares. It's screens. It's something that gets you in a rhythm. It's something that gets the ball out of his hands. Did I describe the Pats offense essentially?
Yeah, it's a short passing attack right now. Mac Jones averages about 60 air yards per attempt. We're talking 31st out of 33 quarterbacks so far that have started games in the last couple of weeks. So really a quick, short, efficient passing game. Now, as somebody that watches the tape religiously and goes back and studies these things, there are opportunities against the Jets to push the football down the field that Mac passed up on. And the conversation here in New England this week on all the airwaves and in all the shows is, do the Patriots need the deep ball from Mac Jones to be a playoff team, to be a mm-hmm. real contender? Because at the end of the day, it's nice to have a nice season with your rookie quarterback and go 500. Well, you can't go 500 anymore, but you get my point. But to really push it in the AFC, is he going to have to push the ball down the field? And I think ultimately they're going to get to the point where you can only have him manage the game for so long, right? I mean, you can only win so many games, especially once the competition ramps up a little bit over the next couple of weeks, like this. So eventually he's going to have to hit some throws down the field. He hit four throws down the field against Miami in week one and week two against the Jets. He left a lot of plays out there playing very conservatively. So eventually I think they are going to have to push it down the field. For now, they can probably win a lot of these games like they have been with their defense mm-hmm. leading the way for the most part.
Evan, what do you think we see in Gillette Stadium on Sunday, sir?
I think when you go up against the Bill Belichick team, Bill Belichick has said it all week long, and he's going to continue to say it, I'm sure, to his team behind closed doors. Everybody in the stadium is going to know that the Saints are going to want to get the ball to Alvin Kamara. And Bill right. Belichick is going to have a game plan ready to not only stop Alvin Kamara on the ground, but also stop him as a receiver. And that will be the focal point of the entire game plan. Belichick is known for making you beat him with mm-hmm. your second and third option. He's not going to let the number one guy, the opponent's number one guy, beat him. So if I'm the Saints, I have to come up with something pretty creative against Belichick to get some of those other guys to make big plays for me, because I think it's going to be a really tough day for Kamara. I think he's going to have a lot of guys around him at all times, and they're going to have to manufacture offense elsewhere. But ultimately, this game is going to be decided, as most of these games are, in the trenches. If the Saints can get to Mac Jones like the Dolphins and the Jets did a little bit, and they can run the football against the Patriots, then they can come out of there with a win. I think the Patriots will probably hold on to this game, though. I think it will be close. But I think that when you look at the Saints' offense, if you're the Patriots, I think you feel pretty good about Jameis Winston not beating you in a traditional passing game. Now, you have to stop the run, and you have to stop Kamara, but if you put this game in Jameis's hands, I think that's where the Patriots are going to want it to be.
Yeah, and look, that's where it's going to be for the New Orleans Saints to start this year for the next several games until it's proven otherwise, right? I mean, there's no way. I'd fire defensive coordinators, Evan. I've been saying on my show, if Alvin Kamara beats you, then I clearly remember years ago in Gillette Stadium with Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham where they were humming. when the Patriots absolutely took him out of the game. So I'm with you. No way 41 does anything Sunday. I'm benching him if I'm playing him in fantasy football. Not that he can't, but obviously that's the game plan. So we'll see what happens, Evan, on Sunday, man. Appreciate the time, sir.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, great stuff. At EZ Lazar is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Mr. Evan Lazar, Patriots beat reporter for CLNS Media. It's a Sports Hangover. Hour two is in the books. Leo Haggerty, bottom of the hour. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.